many unbearable hours later.
I told you, I could sit here for an hour.
Would someone please open our YouTube and see if this is actually working? And see if we're actually talking.
We should have done this a couple hours ago.
Bring me everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone!
Welcome to Everyone Racers, a show designed for the world of low-dollar racing and oddball car culture. It doesn't matter what kind of Lemmichamp or Lucky Track Dog League you run. SECA or NASA, we won't discriminate as long as you drive it hard and build it yourself. Join us each week for tech discussions, tips, tricks, as well as news and notes from the world of amateur endurance racing. Whether it's on the spot, hella sweet, or we're lucky enough and I give you just the tip, we are sure you'll giggle a little and learn even less. Everyone report to the paddock.
This is what you're getting, folks.
Much, much, much later.
Oh, welcome to this hella late, hella technophobic, mental as a moron live episode. Woo!
Wow.
Neighborhood is
yeah. Yes.
Our whole neighborhood is here.
Whole show. Neighborhood is here. Who is that long-haired idiot you had at your house?
Don't worry, he's leaving soon.
All right, so everyone report to the back porch.
This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
And I'm Mental. And this is all my fault. And welcome to a Hino live celebration, 338 episodes. The Hino 338 is a medium-duty truck with a 33,000-pound gross vehicle weight, an 8-liter straight-six diesel engine with 260 horsepower, 660 foot-pounds of torque, and an Allison 2200 6-speed automatic transmission. Not driving your medium duty truck. Well, that's just probably better. We still haven't done the new bingo card, which, seeing how long it took me to get this going, that should surprise no one at all. Aside from watching me struggle with this live stream, what are you working on?
We helped, so there's that.
You helped with the struggle?
I didn't help much,
frankly. I was support.
No.
You weren't anything.
No, I was here.
How many internet things can we have going on here?
I'm not gonna fall. I have four. Is that enough?
It's enough.
I'm trying to get it all to work. It was working when I handed it to you.
Pretty much. So we did some Mazda race prep. Got the car ready to go. Took it out of the trailer.
Now Mental's listening.
Why?
No, I just bring up the chat. I've turned off
the
audio.
You have the chat.
Never mind. What? Yeah, I'm there. Yeah,
we're all good.
Do it the smart way.
We're trying to give you notes on this iPad, so you don't have to scribble. Don't have to squint. Yep. I have chat
glasses.
Okay, fine.
All right, Mazda race prep. Why would you be working on Mazda race prep?
Because we're racing this weekend.
We are racing this weekend.
There you go.
There we go.
So we worked on the car.
And what did we have to do for Mazda race prep? We had to. Well, we did most of it in the fall, fortunately. So all we really had to do was swap tires, flush the brake fluid, get all that old fluid out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I did. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You did all that. That's
I did
great.
All of that, yep.
You took the passenger seat out.
Yep.
We flushed all of the antifreeze, because you're not allowed to have antifreeze on track. So we put that flushed out of straight water, and when I did so, I changed to a lower temperature thermostat to see if that helps lower our overall coolant temperatures. They're fine according to Mazda, but they're higher than I want them, so let's try a lower temperature thermostat. And while that was off, I had to take a coolant hose off. And that coolant hose was original to the car with 250,000 miles, so I said, let's replace that.
250,000? Because it's sneaking up on 300,000 now.
259 right now.
259,000 miles.
I decided I should replace that hose, so I did. And lastly, we're trying to figure out our cool shirt system. We were having issues with overpressurizing the shirts and not having good flow.
It was funny because they would balloon up
totally.
On you.
Yes. And we tried blowing compressed air through them, and it was definitely a shirt issue. Turned out to be with the fittings on the shirts. The dry brake part of the fittings were not getting pressed by the fittings on our hoses.
Yes.
So
we've been struggling with it for a while.
We have.
Yeah.
So I just drilled out the hose, drilled out the fittings on Chrissy and my shirts, and now it works wonderfully. And then I put some bleach and Simple Green in water into the cooler and pumped it through each shirt for about half an hour, and they are spotlessly clean and lovely. So
hey,
would recommend.
I feel like it's either Gentleman Dave or Tom Lomino is going to watch this and be like, I told you so! Somebody was at New Hampshire was adamant that we were wrong.
With the shirt.
They were telling us it was the fittings.
Yeah, we've gone back and forth with it. So,
all right. I just got in from Mid-Ohio and then got in last night. So thank to my lovely hosts who have been hooking me up. And then just this morning, I was bald, absolutely attacked. I had little white furry paws come out from underneath the bed and like get my toes while
so ferocious.
Mauled by kittens. And if you're not seeing, this is Arton.
That's
Senna.
Senna.
I mean, same difference.
And under the camera right now is Checo, because Checo is a bit antisocial, which is unlike Checo.
A little bit, but very patient.
Not enough tequila.
Very nice.
Not enough tequila.
Everybody loves Checo.
I'm going to give your cat tequila.
You should probably not.
See how the cat feels about that.
But everybody loves Checo, so there's that.
Yeah, but Senna wants to be the center of attention.
So much.
It was a moth or something. Anyway. Great. Also, I forgot I was doing some MG work. I did more repair of previous owner's wiring and fixing things, and actually have operational for the first time since I was 17. The HVAC blower works. I took all the cables apart and cleaned and lubricated them. One of them broke. I had to fix that. I had to make a new fitting for the end of another one.
Is it right to call it an HVAC blower when really it's just a suggestion of heat?
Yeah, once the heater's working, it actually puts out a good amount of heat. The problem is nothing else seals in the car. It has curtains.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
and air conditioning is
too.
Yes.
And air conditioning is take curtains and top down.
Yes.
Yeah.
The car was designed for the top to be down most of the time. The top is a suggestion of sadness,
yes.
Really. It means your day is not going as well as you'd like it to go. Yeah. But it works the first time ever. All the cables are free. Everything's it's coming along. Whoever gets this car is going to have a well-sorted car.
Coming soon, either to Bring a Trailer or Haggerty Auction near you. Hope you're watching, Michael D. All right. We do have 7 viewers.
Oh, yeah. That's how I was trying to see if I could find them.
They're so bored.
They're so bored.
But this just in. News flash. Chrissy's mom. Hi,
Chrissy's mom.
Awesome. That is fantastic, and I'm really happy that Dolores and Bob are up past their dinner, past their bedtime.
It is. Yeah, I mean Jeopardy's over. Don't they know that?
Yeah, seriously, and they've already watched the local news and entertainment tonight. So we appreciate you guys staying up and going with us.
Oh,
but
Dolores is doing some extra knitting ahead of the race to make sure she's got enough for everyone.
Doilies. That's. Everyone else uses stickers. They're going to have the Everyone Retirees doilies.
I think so.
For everyone out
yep.
there. That's going to be fantastic.
Great.
I want one of those doilies, by the way. We can't really shout news and notes.
We are. Yes, we are. I'm sorry. I was trying to see if I could see the comments on here because that's my job today. If news at no time, I don't want to yell because I don't want the whole neighborhood to hear that it's news at no time. Although I'm sure our neighbors would be very excited to know it's news at no time.
They should. Why are your neighbors not watching?
They might be.
Because they have a life.
Yeah, okay.
And they're just like, oh, and now we have to close the windows. Close the windows because we're too loud. You know that we love Sajeev, but let's be honest, so do you. This week on Haggerty, he has written a thought-provoking piece on Haggerty. 10 Malaise Era Milestones to Silence the Haters. Among those trends, cleaner cars with pollution controls make our cities more breathable, luxury for the masses. Radial tires, bumpers that worked and were integrated into the car, aerodynamics, computers, and more. Covered in Sajeev's unique prose. Unlike most of his work, you'll learn something. So check out the link in our show notes.
I do enjoy all of that stuff. Hey, do you like parking boots?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're great for like trailer security.
Yeah, okay, ooh, fair enough. Right, right. I was thinking more like the impound lots. But by and large, nobody likes parking booths, and you're going to hate this too. So Jason Torchensky over at The Autopian, he's covering New York's latest parking enforcement device. It's called the Barnacle, and it's effectively a suction-powered coffee table book-sized device that adheres to your blocks your front windshield. Now, you can still drive, and we all know it's just going to be a matter of minutes, especially in New York, until someone tries to drive with their head out the window or their passenger on there. But the upside of these is you can actually pay the fine immediately, and it will remotely remove itself from your windshield. The suction cups comes off, so you don't have to wait on the enforcement folks to come out and unlock that thing. And as much as I can already see, like, when the private parking enforcement companies get a hold of this, it's going to be massively abused. And we'll just start having to figure out ways to drill the suction cups, or someone will just smash their front windshield and say, screw you losers, wow, I'm out of here. I actually do want one of these for the next clown that parks in my parking spot at work, because I get that a lot. I usually start with one sheet of paper, note taped with clear tape, onto the center of their windshield that says politely, hey, I didn't know if you noticed, this is a reserved spot, don't park here. The second note actually gets upgraded to black Gorilla tape, and it's 2 pages and involves a lot more profanity. I haven't had to go to 4 pages yet, so we'll see how that goes.
You need a hobby.
This is his hobby.
No, I have a parking spot. Don't park in my spot. It's a Miata. Just leave me my spot. That's all I ask.
Respect my authority.
It's not even authority. Respect my laziness. It's close to work. When I took this new position, I didn't get a raise. I got a parking spot. I want my parking spot.
Okay. Now, we don't typically cover NASCAR, but when it's funny, maybe. So last month at the Toyota Care 250 race at Richmond, driver Joey Gase was crashed out of the race and expressed his frustration by hurling his broken bumper at the offending car of Dawson Cram as his Camaro passed. He was fined $5,000 after the incident, but still proved to be a solid move for him. Why? Quote, bumpers that deliver, end quote, saw a chance for some publicity, and now the number 453 Mustang has a new sponsor. In fact, at the upcoming Michigan Speedway's Cabo Wabo 250 in August, Bumpers That Deliver will be the car's primary sponsor. Caleb Jacobs at The Drive has the full story, but good on them of finding their niche and going with it.
Yeah, I feel like Bumpers That Deliver has to be just, you know, some guy that, like, built this empire, and he's watching that race, and he just goes, hey, Fred, get our PR guy on the line. I see something here.
That probably is Fred.
All right. Now, normally we would share a screen on this, and but as you can see, I've already struggled enough with the software on the new eCam software that we're using.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Right. Yeah, I know, right? What? Well, we still can move into our next section.
Well, you can still talk about it, Mental, and I can do this the old-fashioned way.
That's what I was looking to do right there. And actually, Chrissy, Chrissy's going to talk about...
I have
okay, notes. She's got notes.
I'm doing multiple things here, but it's all productive. Mm-hmm. And it's not shopping. Lemon's Pit Maneuver weekend is coming up. Do you know the coolest trailer? Coolest trailer?
What is
it's on racingjunk.com.
Of course it is.
Of course, and there's ads and stuff that's coming up. Cool. This 2002 53-foot trail mobile is a mere $60,000 when it comes with, yes, a Museum of the History of Pittsburgh Steelers organization on the inside.
It's literally
maybe
a museum.
Maybe we'll see it soon. Hey, they've got a Racing Junk Pro because they can see up.
Oh, yeah. Boom. Chris nailed it. That's it.
Okay. It is entire display of the black and yellow and even comes with a prize wheel. Yins know you want it. Yins know you can get it on racingjunk.com.
Right, and Yins know also use code POD23.
I want to know if it still works.
It 10% said it did.
Okay, great.
So, and you can get that Racing
Junk. Probably because nobody knows it's a thing, and then somebody just
no one turned it off.
No, yeah, exactly. No one turned.
Nobody uses this thing.
I don't know. Every Friday we get like 4 people that try to use this pod code. So you know what? With it, we'll leave it. Why not? But check it out. We've actually we got a meeting with our new guy, so we might be getting you a new code on Racing Junk.
Maybe POD 24.
Maybe POD 24, which feels smart. Or maybe we'll get a special one that says E1R, and then they'll go, oh, those guys sold us exactly one, you know, code light. Anyway, point is, Racing Jug is awesome.
I mean, it's not like that Pod 23 may not go to anybody else except for us. We just don't actually know that.
That is true. That is true.
Just thinking.
And you know all the crap you get there. You get, like, the five ads, 50 photos. I sold a motorcycle. You almost sold a Corvette. It's cool stuff, and even if you're not selling things, just go to Racing Jug, check it out. You know, if you're playing the whatever game, it's better than Facebook Marketplace because you don't have to, like, go through everybody's angry political post to look at it. You know, it's just racing junk. It's literally just stuff on racing junk. So.
Can we pause for a second?
Oh, of course.
The chat is blowing up.
Oh, the chat is all over this.
There's all kinds of chat going on. Thank you for everybody. Some of it's just dumb banter.
There we go. Oh, man. This is
fantastic. I mean, very polite, awesome banter between all of y'all.
I see Zach. I see, I see Buddha. That's Randy.
Okay.
You guys should check out Cones and Hat TV.
Yeah.
Cones and Hat TV, though, is a separate thing where he eats as he's autocrossing.
Okay, no problem there. Michael Krenzer's here.
That fondue next time,
right? Yes, fondue.
I don't know who's dumb. No.
Dumb and Tough is Zach.
He's just here for the cat. He is placed very nicely.
He is.
We did not pay her for this promotion.
Yes.
And she looks very calm here. Not so calm.
She'll have snacks later.
Yeah, she'll have snacks.
She just had snacks before.
But to answer Zach, you probably should advertise the van on Racing Junk after Sebring, but I really want it because I want to run the Hoopty X class for the Ment 400. I just think that van would be hysterical. It won't finish, but who cares? Yeah. All right. So, yes. And there's two cats. There's another.
She ran out.
Checo took off. All right. Guys, thank you all so much for showing up in chat. This is fantastic.
Keep writing. I'll highlight the funny
thank you.
Ones.
Thank you all very, very much.
Okay.
We have some upcoming races. Champ Car is going to be at Gingerman for the Cookie Cutter Classic. That's an 8-7. This Saturday and Sunday, they got 24 cars.
Wow.
Only three are BMWs, which is proper.
Yeah, that's a good ratio.
That's right. Actually fewer BMWs than the Lemons race there, yeah. But it's also like...
That's a good ratio.
It's like fewer cars.
Do we know what format?
8-7.
No, I'm sorry. What track format at Gingerman?
They only have one.
They only have, yeah, Gingerman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the other one.
Autobahn.
Yes. I apologize. Yeah.
That's all good. And five Miatas, one Honda, which actually I think it's an Acura, and then one Porsche, but they do have an 88 Fiero.
Nice. That is good. There's as many Fieros as Porsches. That's a good ratio.
That is a great ratio, because normally if you want your Fiero ratio to exceed your Porsche ratio, it has to be the Salty Thunder.
And they probably both aren't going to finish, so there's that.
There's only three times as many BMWs as Fieros. Imagine if that's what we have. That would be great.
That would be great. Yes, that is awesome. All right.
And we're talking about Pitt. We're going to talk all about Pitt later, but we will talk about the cars that will be there. 119 cars.
Hmm.
Okay, 20 of them are BMWs. Not so bad.
It's boring, but it's less boring.
29 Miata, though.
That's, that's too many.
It's too many.
Pick something else.
Right? Five Hondas, four Porsches, and the rundown from the fifth host, Eric. Three Cordobas. This is not a drill.
Cordobas!
In big letters, he mentions one of them is, one of which is might be the actual slowest American-made car in the 70s. There is a 94 Nissan Hardbody D21 with a Hell Yeah after it. 69, nice. Mustang along with a Honda powered 67. A 77 Lancia's Scorpion. Of course, the 74 Javelin. An 08 Kia Spectra 5 with a stick. Oh. A 2011 Chevy Cruze. And maybe the Simca 2 Lincoln LSs. And at least two post 2000 Mitsubishi Eclipses, with Eric saying God help them.
Topical Eclipses.
Yeah, but the fact that they probably didn't come up and build a car in a week, maybe I guess they knew the Eclipse was coming before and they were already planning it for Pitt, they're probably not going to run anyway, so there's that. So good on them. May the best Eclipse theme win.
There are going to be plenty.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
It's going to be the BMW of themes.
Oh, an Eclipse theme. Someone might do it well. I have faith that someone's going to pull something out
Yes. If a good Eclipse theme, if it doesn't reference Bonnie Tyler, I'm not buying it.
They're not here that weekend. The Turtle Eclipse of the Heart is not here for this race. Oh, well. So moving on.
Yes. Oh, to recent results!
Thank you. AER was at pit. 28 cars finished on Saturday. Rubin Performances first, and they walked away with it. Parkway Euro, and then Angry Croc behind them. Sunday, only 22 cars finished.
Wow!
AF Racing 1 also ran away with it. Parkway Euro, and then Don't Panic, far away from them. I'm sure everyone had so much fun racing by themselves.
The good thing about it, the Rubin Performance, because it's Rubin Performance and Bar and Grill. So usually, or the races I've been to, they sponsored like a really nice dinner that Friday night. So,
sure.
Yeah.
People want to see this cat.
Yeah, exactly. So
okay, Champ was at Daytona. I looked a whole bunch of different places, could not find the results, but I did see on Facebook that after 14 hours at Daytona, the first and second were only separated by 0.134 seconds.
Wow. Ooh.
And the 20 minutes, the lead changed 20 times.
Wow.
So I didn't find anything
that's
else? Exciting. Yeah, so premium
that is, that's
BMW
good racing, yeah.
won over Salen's
Porsche. Well, they had quite a field there. So.
They did.
Yeah.
If you were following our socials this weekend, you notice that every time we would post a picture of bad weather, Donnie would follow it up with a sunshine report from Daytona. He was down there in the Betty White Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah,
I guess
yeah.
He had at least 8 inches of sunshine. That's
yes, okay. Exactly. Which it actually did finish all 14 hours, and unfortunately our friends at the Dustin and the guys in the Fat Crack Racing crew, as they always do, suffered some sort of problem. They always end up with a mechanical at Daytona, which is terrible because they're a great team and it's a great car. So, on that one. And then listener feedback. We did not get a chance to dig through all the way through all of our listener feedback because I was wrestling with this. But
we do have it live. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, we can do that. We can do it live. I'm going to open very simply. After my incident, if you were following the live feed or a couple of folks actually went and watched it after the fact, my phone kind of blew up with messages of people checking to make sure that I was safe, that I was okay. Somebody said, hey, I know you think you're fine. Stretch your wrist out because you're going to get lugged around. So sincerely and honestly, thank you all very much for reaching out, looking after my safety. The driver did come apologize after the race. If you haven't seen the video, it's
self-explanatory.
That's a good phrase right there. Self-explanatory on that one. So thanks for everyone who actually cared about my safety and reached out. Appreciate it.
And we decided we're going to talk about Mid-Ohio at a later date. So we're going to talk about your experience, not only just on your on-track, your minimal time on track.
All three laps.
Your bigger, broader experience with the whole event, Mid-Ohio, the teams you were running with, mm-hmm. and all of that good sweat.
The latest comment we received from everyone retirees is, 8 inches of sunshine is what they called me in college.
Let me just change the settings to not made for children.
It's already said that way. I figured that's the way we were going to go.
Well played.
Oh, my God. You guys are hilarious. And I also like that Carlton's looking for the 2x watch speed. Like a 2x. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm glad that we don't have that selected. Because
the
chipmunks
host everyone racers. That'd be great.
Do not do that. But thank you for the suggestion. That's very nice. Okay. Okay. I don't know if I can't see if my mom is still on. I can't see how many people
you can
are.
Still say hi.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Hi.
We can't.
It's important for everyone else, especially if you're coming to pit race, to say hi to Chrissy's mom.
Totally, because there will be all kinds of delightful delectables, cookies,
baked
and then
goods.
Some.
Yes, mm-hmm. Awesome.
All of the
more
above.
Than we can eat. So.
Right, yeah,
so if you're nice, maybe bring us beer too.
Yeah.
If you actually, my mom always says, "Oh, that food that you brought that you were eating looks so good." So if you bring her a snack, you might even get something special.
Because
right.
With the exception of my birthday cookies, I have not had Chrissy's mom's cookies since November.
October.
The Halloween Hoopty Fest.
Yep.
So yes,
all right.
I am geeked.
Picking them tomorrow.
Oh yeah, ready. Gotta feed the habit.
Already.
Oh.
Okay. Space time.
It is main topic time, and this is our patent powerful pre-print pre-race preview presented and powered by Pemani's. And now, right. Cones and Atkin, stop getting on me for putting a T in Pemani's.
He's still going to tell you you said it wrong.
Yes, but I said it a new type of wrong.
Yes.
Yes. Which is necessary.
You're correct.
It's great.
You're correct. You did.
I actually got the last pit. Well, no, it was after the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. Him and his wife. I got to meet them at Pemani's, and we all had dinner together. That was fun.
Did you enjoy fries and your sandwich?
I can't get there from here.
Yeah.
I do the fries on the side, but I'm not a fries in the sandwich kind
of
guy.
I mean, it's one of those things that you have to get when you go there, though. It's one of those, like you eat a Philly cheesesteak when you're here, even if you don't like them or they're not very good. You just have them.
I honestly like Pemani's Reuben. They make an outstanding slow-cooked Reuben.
I don't remember either. Had fries on it, though.
Because that's what you do.
Right.
Because
that's
do.
What you do. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to Pitt. We're excited about Pitt. We really like Pitt. Pitt is a fun track. It has a lot of elevation changes. It has a lot of interesting sections. It has a big paddock. It's a great place to be.
And we, as you pointed out last weekend, AR usually runs the weekend before Lemons, and it comes down to
it has been last several years.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot whether or not you get the good weather or the bad weather, because I've judged it when it is freezing miserable cold. Then that was also the weekend of the it snowed
2 years ago.
Yeah, that was the 40% cold, 80% party.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was absolutely.
I didn't make it last year, but it was gorgeous then, right?
It was wonderful. We had shorts on. We had shorts on the whole time.
All right. So this weekend, knock on wood.
It's supposed to.
We'll talk about the weather.
It is going to be pretty.
We've got a weather report.
All right.
AccuChrissy.
Oh, great. Super.
So let's talk a bit about the track for those of you who haven't been there in a while, or if you've just forgotten because you've been too drunk since then. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. Some reason you've forgotten. So when you get off the turnpike and you head north, you pass the scary motels, you pass the scary biker bar, and other various scary things that happen in that part of Pennsylvania.
Yes. And now, the gas station isn't scary. It's
Al's
just
is fine.
It's just sketchy until you walk inside. It's actually great.
Yeah. Al's is a great place. And from what our experience in the past, even though it seems like a small local store, which it is, their prices on gas are the same as the Sheets that's 10 minutes down the road and whatnot. So would recommend giving your business to the local small business.
Especially if your race car is street legal, then you can just bring your race car full of gas.
And honestly, I think even if your race car is not street legal, that town, if you're doing the speed limit and it's not too loud.
Yeah.
It's less than a light away, excuse us. It's not far from the track.
I'm not street legal.
Yeah.
And we usually just bring the race car full of all of the cans and fill it all up.
And I know on occasion we've grabbed a sandwich there, and they've always been pretty spot on.
Get out. Hold on. Apparently that warehouse isn't as scary. It's apparently a swingers club, so not just a sketchy warehouse.
Okay, now every time I go down that street, I need to douse myself in Purell.
Hey, whatever those people are into, although I can't, I'm just trying to imagine the quality of the clientele Pittsburgh Swinger Club.
I'm not going to kink shame them. I just don't want to touch it or be near it or breathe it.
I just thought that we just
That's
think
a good
it's abandoned.
Top local tip.
You're right. Thank you. Now we know.
Local guide says.
Local guides.
Right.
Knowledgeable local Pittsburgh. There you go.
So eventually you have to take that left to the track. It's up a just small little road. You wouldn't expect it. And the sign for the track isn't that big.
No.
Like, it's not even a sheet of plywood.
No,
on the right-hand side, saying that you're going to have to turn
on the right
left.
Side,
yeah.
And it's poorly lit.
It looks like it goes into someone's driveway.
I think it's
a little bit lit.
Okay.
Like I said, poorly lit.
Poorly fine. Poorly maybe not, actually. No. But yes.
Poorly lit. So we make sure to take that left, and then you drive up path through this residential area, which
so weird.
Drive slowly. There are residents there. And in the day, there's actually feral children and things, I think. It's a
matter. Well, and Pitt Race likes having limits there. And I don't want to be all preachy and stuff, but you are representing our community. Don't be a tool.
Yep. So you drive up this long, winding road, and eventually you get to what looks like a gate, but you don't go through that gate. You go left.
Yeah.
And then go around all the fences, and then you come to a little guard shack. Probably you come to a line. There will be a tent with lemon staff are in it. You get out and talk to them. And then there is a booth, a little shed, and you talk to the pit race people. Hopefully at this point in your drive, you have completed the online waiver.
Don't wait for your drive. Just do it today.
Do it today.
Yeah, get online. Do the online pit waiver. Yep. It's on the website.
Well, you need it to get into the track. So if you do it ahead of time, that's great. I did ours today for Chrissy and I. You were busy, so I couldn't do it. You do need your driver's license number. Otherwise, I would have just done yours for you. But get that done ahead of time.
Otherwise, we're going to make fun of you because we'll be stuck behind you in line.
Yep.
Oh, once you're through. That would be mad.
It's true. Once you're through, then you go straight, you go past their fancy new building and the shop and all that, and then you come up to where the center garages are. They'll be on your right, and then it'll be a T intersection. You can go left down the T. That goes down the road along pit lane. If you get there after, say, 8 or 9 o'clock, you're probably not going to find anything down that way, and it's fun watching the people who go that way and have to back their trailers all the way out because there is no place to turn around once they've driven all the way down. So be careful if you get there after a couple hours. If you go right, you can then get around the center garages and go into some of the overflow parking. You could also turn right into the overflow parking at the kind of pro shop. You could turn right and get into that area too. And
all right.
Dan, that is also where the fuel pumps are. They're over by the karting track.
Right. Yes. Good karting track, actually.
It is a good karting track. So you're not allowed to park in the karting area. There are people that are coming and karting all the time there, so you can't park at the karts area. You cannot park in the kind of autocross venue, which is kind of the furthest away from the track. They do use that in the weekend for other things.
Yeah. They'll have an autocross or drifting.
Yep.
Drifting. And save your judgment. It's a good drifting crowd. We've talked to a few of them. They've wandered over. Yeah, no, they're good. Gearheads are gearheads, man.
But it's so far away from the track that don't bother. Don't go over there.
I hate the whole fragment. Oh, they're not real car people because they slide. Don't start with that. Of course, I'm jumping ahead of my section. Right. Please.
Old man yells at Cloud.
Young man makes friends with Cloud.
Okay, good. In that case, you're right. Yes. So if you do not have a garage reserved, do not park near any of the garages. And also, do not go up the hill to where the event center is. There's only room up there for people who have garages. There's not room.
And obviously not even enough room for everybody has a garage.
And it's also a pretty tight turnaround.
It is.
It's not, especially on any day but Thursday night.
Yeah.
It gets, with everybody else's auxiliary cars, it gets really tight there.
Yeah, so don't bother going up the hill to the event center. The event center itself is very nice. If they ever have anything up in
there. Yeah, you can walk up there. Don't park up there.
Yeah, there's no need to go up there.
None.
But so there are only two garages. There's the center garage we talked about before. It's the one, it's literally right in the middle of everything. That is where HQ was going to be for penalty and judging. HQ for wristbands and all that stuff usually is in the building that's right on pit lane. Whereas the control tower essentially is upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
The lower area of that is where you get your.
Do they call it the classroom?
I think they might as well.
Okay.
The classroom there.
Well, because that's what we know it as,
sure.
But I think they would probably call that.
Top tip, the classroom has nice bathrooms.
And it's also even.
No, they have terrible bathrooms. Don't go into those bathrooms at all. Especially if you have to poop.
It's usually lovely, lovely. It's very cold in there.
The climate control is good.
Yes, that's what I'm trying
to
say.
So we've been there in July when it's 98 degrees,
yeah.
And the air conditioning is meat locker inside
yes.
the bathroom.
Right.
Good.
So I don't think we'll need that this weekend, but also just a nice top tip.
One last thing. There are power spots that are pre-reserved here. These are around the center garages, have power spots. And if you go to the T and take a left, on your left, immediately for about a third of the way down, are all going to be power spots. So anything that has a red stripe around the space or a cone with someone's name on it, they didn't put the cone with someone's name on it because it's fun.
How did they just get this cone that say Chris Abbott?
Right.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yes. If you didn't pay for a spot, don't take a spot because everyone there has tools and free time.
Yeah. Most of those spots are reserved in early January for next year.
Yes.
Great.
Right. Stuff Lemons want you to do. Again, sign the e-waiver before you get to the track. You need to have your driver's license number, and they're going to verify that as you come in through. As we previously mentioned, don't be a dick. This is one of those tracks where we've got a really good reputation as Lemons people because we're nice to the staff, and they do a really good job. They keep the trash cleaned up, all that other kind of stuff. Testing day. It is in the last few years, they bring run groups as other normies get to run their own run groups, and you are allowed to sign up for both at double the price. Was that really nice, like, super racing vintage C3 Corvette
a couple of years ago. There's a Viper that usually shows up.
Yeah, there's a, I mean, like, hard some hardware shows up, and either they're unaware that there are cars with, you know, giant phalluses on the hoods, mm-hmm. or they just don't care. In either case, don't be a tool. You might get somebody over there.
I'd like to see the Simca racing against the Viper.
Oh, we might. We might see the Simca. It's on the list. It's supposed to make it. Good luck. Good luck.
That should not be a thing,
those guys. So the judging staff is, of course, the mighty and awesome Tim Burr, Sean Rogers, Adam Gorrell, I don't know Adam, and Brian Trainer. Now, Sean I know and Tim I know, and they're traveling on airplanes. So if you bring them a bribe, it's going to be something that they're going they need to have there because they're not going to be able to throw it in their luggage.
Or they can always leave it with us, and we can figure out how to get it.
Actually, yeah, or, yeah. If you have something really cool for Tim, I can
sure,
get it to
yes,
him.
Sure, yes, we can absolutely do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or someone's going to
I mean, you brought so much luggage with you. Can you just bring something back with you?
Well, I needed room for my skateboard, which is... Because the paddock is uphill, yeah. So you're going to want a pit vehicle.
Yes.
At pit race. And there's a lot of great viewpoints that you can travel around and up on the hill and stuff. So.
There goes Zach. There's the other cat.
Let's check him.
There it is. All right. You know, yeah, they all drink, but they don't drink cheap crap. So don't you know. And the Iron City thing, it's been done to death.
It's so
what's
done.
The donut place?
Orams. It's down in Beaver Falls. That place is legit.
That goes over well because they share those with everybody, and those are great donuts on there.
Yeah.
And you could probably get away with bringing some of those to the potluck if you bring something that's not a dessert on that as well. And again, the road, literally, when you turn onto the road, if you've never been there before, it looks like you're pulling in somebody's driveway. Go up there, be slow, turn the music down, don't be a complete tool bag because... chances are it's probably half the track staff that lives there. And we don't want to be, these are how tracks get closed is everybody shows up and they're loud and stupid.
Don't be loud and stupid.
Don't be,
for those reasons. You can be loud and stupid at the race.
Be loud and stupid at the track. So that's why it's out there.
The track is in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes,
it
exactly.
really is. I mean, I'm sure the people, they're used to having cars behind them.
Know your place to be loud and stupid.
Know your place to be loud and stupid.
Good plan.
That could be the other tagline for our show. Making well-informed bad decisions. And know the place to be loud and stupid.
All right. We started talking about restrooms. There are a bunch of different ones. There are some that are very well populated. So central restrooms.
In the central garage.
Central garages,
yes.
Right. So they're
like, if he wasn't bigger and stronger than all of us combined, I would like threaten Michael K. right now.
Why?
He said you love potato salad.
Oh, I do love potato salad. I like good potato salad.
He says, bring a gallon. Bring a gallon of potato salad.
Right? Because actually, and I posted what we're talking about is that Carlton asked for the list, the sign up, and so I added it to the chat. So when people need to know and need to sign up, I'm happy for them to sign up. Okay, so back to restrooms. So there are a couple different restrooms. Central garages do have a couple restrooms. They do have showers there. Yeah, I'm getting there. Do you want to do this part? Fine. Event Center also has restrooms with showers. You can also go over to the karting center.
Don't tell people about the karting center.
Don't go to the karting center. Or if you decide to, that you're going to park in what I'm going to call Gen Pop, and you're going to go all the way down the aisle, there may be porta potties down there, maybe. Yeah. But don't go there, so I don't know what Gen Pop has. Oh, and we already talked about the restrooms in the classroom.
Yeah, and I think there are restrooms in the Pro Shop new building.
Oh, probably.
But I don't think there's showers in there.
Probably not. We never go there. I think we were looking for one thing when we went there before. It's a lovely center, but we have not gone there to see what else is there. Okay, so track food. There should be a, I think there's a travel trailer that's pretty stationary. It lives there now.
The last time we've had it, they had amazing nachos and fries, if I'm remembering correctly. I think it's mostly barbecue. They usually have drinks as well, so not drinks, alcoholic. They usually have, like, sodas and stuff.
They do have breakfast, too, I think. I've seen them
okay.
have breakfast.
And that's it. There's no other, unless there's another truck that we're not familiar
with. Our local tour expert is also saying the Pro Shop bathrooms.
That's what I just said.
Okay.
The new building.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So there it is.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. So, yeah. And this is, it's hard to find a non-NASCAR track with good, clean showers.
I think and they're always all warm. I don't think we've ever had a problem with warm.
And you don't have to play any games like in New Hampshire where you have to turn two showers on to get warm.
Yes.
Or Thompson, where you have to wait for all the Polish guys. You know, I leave the door open. You come in. It's okay.
Yeah, right. So all the above. So the restroom's there. Pretty great. Okay. Track food, we already talked about that. Stuff around the track. We already talked about the gas station that's down the street. I think that's a good one. But it's Sheets just south of the Turnpike or the Al's Corner.
Wawa?
No Wawa. Or at least there might be some. It's funny. No, we like Wawa.
Exactly.
We're going to hear about that, I'm sure. Rudders. Nobody ever says, I want Rudders.
I don't know what Rudders is.
It's a crappy
Sheets. It's a rip-off of Sheets.
Okay.
So the next time we see Donnie's car, we're just going to cover it with Rudders memorabilia.
R-U-T-T-E-R-S.
I mean, why are you saying this on a podcast that people are listening to? Okay.
Because several of the people on there will absolutely help us vandalize whatever Donnie is driving.
Most people in central or mid-central to central Pennsylvania know what a Rudders is. Anyway, fuel is in the hot pits. I think most of us know that. You need a cart to get there. It is far away, especially if you are in the event garages. It's freaking far away. So depending on where you're paddocked, it's going to be bring a cart, borrow a cart, do something. I think, and then having, so there are track pumps. They're also far away.
They are. They're over by karting.
They're all the way out back. Yeah.
Okay.
There apparently is a shop outside of the track with an entrance to the entrance road that has a tire machine.
It's a new mechanic shop that's open.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Okay. I thought there was something else that might be that.
No, we got an email from Nick about this, that this shop is going to be open and they have tire machines. They have a dyno.
Ooh.
And they're mechanics, and like they're ready to do stuff.
Okay.
So, fantastic.
I feel like that.
I'm actually tempted to dyno the Mazda to see what it has.
And if Tim Burr's watching this, it's got every bit of 85, 90 horsepower. Easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have no idea.
I feel like that's one of those things, too, because either they're going to love the Lemons crowd, and most mechanic shops love Lemons crowd because they're like, I never thought of this. This is brilliant, you know. Yeah. Like the Napa shop at CMP loves Lemons. So that's going to be awesome.
All right. I'll jump ahead real quick and say we're having potluck on Saturday. Can't wait. Sign-ups look pretty good. But just make sure that if you're going to come to eat, please bring something. All of the people here know the spiel, so don't bring potato salad. If you're going to bring potato salad to make me annoyed, which is probably going to happen, bring something else.
Sticky change with it.
Sticky change, half a pizza and potato salad.
So it's already, I know it's already happening, and that's funny, but bring something else, please. So
yes.
Don't just bring these things that make me annoyed.
Smithers, Cheetos.
I read in a recent series of correspondence that they now have a foot-long pierogi sandwich at Three Rivers Stadium, which has to be inspired by something there in the town. So,
pierogies are so that's very Pennsylvania.
It is very Pennsylvania. I know Randy spent a bunch of time making pierogi for one of the potlucks years ago, and it was actually my first exposure to pierogi and. I'm a fan.
Oh, all right.
Excellent.
I don't mind store-bought food. Just make it something that's not what everybody else is going to bring. That's all I care about. Mm-hmm. Sign up. I'm going to put it back in the chat.
And not all desserts.
Last pit, we had 2 6-foot tables of desserts and actually had, like, Costco pies. We had, like, eight of them. Like,
I think, who was it said they're bringing 8 Kirtland pies.
Yes.
Good.
Okay. That's
yeah, Carlton. Carlton's bringing 6 Kirtland
that's
pies.
Literally
so the Kirtland pies are covered.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
bring something different. I don't mind dessert, but also bring something different. Thank you. Okay, let's go to the weather report. So Thursday and Thursday night, we have lots of rain coming. Lots of rain. Rain front is doing this. I don't know if that's where it's going. It's going to be warm during the day. It's going to be 47. Friday, showers and thunderstorms, high of 54. So it's going to be a lovely Friday testing day, or sit in your trailer and huddle up and go through tech and be
or
cold.
Wish you had a garage day. Call it. How does the other half live?
Showers are going to be tapering off at overnight, low of 40. So Saturday and Sunday look pretty dry.
If you hear someone in the middle of the night just absolutely cry out in agony, it's me walking to the bathroom and realizing it's 40 degrees.
But it was snow. You were in the snow last night.
Yes, and I cried out in agony and cried like a little, like a second grader that just dropped his ice cream cone.
Of note, I think the track is going to be wet still Saturday morning. It is going to be a wet start, not pouring rain wet start, but the track's probably still going to be wet by the time we're rolling.
So whoever's got the first stint on Saturday is just going to have a lot of yellow.
Probably, and they just need to have some quick hands and watch out what's going on.
Full course yellow again. Oh, full course yellow.
The benefit is you're going to get a long stint.
Because you're staying in that car. On the upside, the recovery staff at Pitt are those.
And speaking of the rain, though, once you put a wheel off at Pitt after it has been raining a lot, gone. You are in Ohio.
The thing that stops you is a wall or a tree or something.
They have lots of runoff room, like a lot of runoff room. But once it has been saturated with what's going to be 3 days of rain, Saturday at 11 o'clock, you put wheels off, you're in the wall.
It's a lovely lawn. They've got a great lawn. And when you go off, you actually pick up speed because there's less traction on that grass.
We're serious. Yeah. Like, this is not not an exaggeration.
And we're going to talk. We're going to do the virtual track walk here in a bit, and she'll post the link in the chat so you can follow along with us. Particularly the penultimate corner. That's where everyone loves to go off.
Yep.
Okay.
So, all right. This is fantastic. So
it's time for track walk.
I feel like it is. Chrissy's going to be dropping that track map in. You can bring it up on your device as you're watching this, and we'll, of course, have it in the show notes after all of this kind of stuff. So, and also, we've got a lot of pit race veterans here, so throw your opinions in as well. And thank you all for joining in on that one.
Let's talk about getting on and off the track first.
Key.
To get onto the track from the paddock, you will go near the north garages, and there's an upper grid that's available there and a small gate that goes into a lower grid down to your left. So you will go through the gate down to the lower grid. From the lower grid, there is a gate to get onto pit lane. And from there, you go to pit lane, you go to the end, you see Dale or Ken or whoever happens to be checking their wristbands there, and head out onto the track. Be mindful of the blend line, because the blend line keeps you tucked to the left as you crest the blind hill. Some people are good as they're on track of not crossing that blend line, but many people are not good at not crossing that blend line. Many people do cross it, so make sure you're staying on your correct side of that blend line on both sides, please. Now, to get off the track, just to cover all the pits and stuff, as you're coming around the final corner,
our file doesn't work.
Stay left. Stay hard left. This file?
Yes.
Great. Works great for me.
Yeah, the link we have in our show notes is
this is where I got it from.
Coming up as a 404.
Correct.
Anyway.
Yes.
So you come off the track and then the hard right hand turn at the water tower, you're gonna stay all the way left. And there is lots of room for you to stay all the way left. And just stay all the way left, put your fist out the window, and you will get right straight into the pits. You're gonna go past the grid areas, you're gonna go past the control tower. You're going to go past most of the fueling spots.
Actually,
almost. Sometimes they bring you to the end. They bring you most of the way to the end.
Yeah, all the way to the end. Cars have died and managed to make it
off the hot pit.
So basically, you go all the way to the end, and that's where you come off of the track, and then drive through where everyone is down in that area, and that's how you get on the track. Anyway, so let's say you're on the straight, going along on the straight. Straight's nice and fast. Straight is, you know, starts off after you crest a hill, and then you're going downhill towards start to finish station. Start to finish station is big station on your left. It's easy to see. And if you look down the straight, then there's going to be an uphill section. And you're going to see the three at the bottom of the hill, the two halfway up, and the one is right at the top of the hill. So, uphill, when you're braking, you can brake really hard because your suspension is nice and compressed. But as soon as you cross that up top of the rest of the hill, the one, you lose all that compression.
All bets are off.
One is a deceptive corner because you cannot see through it at all, which makes everyone over slow, me included. So do your best to visualize where that corner is going because it has so much more room than you think. To the right of one, right about where you'd be kind of, if you push a little too far, is actually kind of an exit, a part of the old north track. So there's lots of room to wash out there. Lots and lots. Mm-hmm. So you can go really far over there. So don't be afraid of doing that. The curbing on the inside is friendly. Don't be afraid of getting two wheels on that curbing.
Yes, okay. But not that curve. There's some that are not.
Right. Friendly. There are some unfriendly curbs here.
But for the most part,
they are. Yes. These are okay to put two wheels on.
Yep.
But try to visualize your path out of that corner, and I bet you're going to carry a lot more speed than you think, and your end of braking is really going to be kind of just over the crest of the hill is where I would be off the brakes coming through. So wherever you have to start braking to make that happen, do it. But that's your end of braking. As soon as you're at the apex, right back on the gas because the whole track opens right up. And you can just flow your way out of the track, out of that corner, on the gas because that's you can get on it much earlier than you think. But then you're going to crest the hill right where the bun line ends. Try to have your car straight as you crest the hill, because if it's at an angle, it's going to move around a bit. Mm-hmm. They're going to have your suspension.
And it might anyway. Yep. You get a little light there anyway.
You do. Mm-hmm. But if you're still loaded up in the corner, it's going to be a little more exciting.
Sure.
So try to have it straight down. All right. So that's turn two, is the crest of the hill is turn two. It's not much of a turn, but it's all kind of part of turn one. But that's turn two. Then you're going down a nice long straight. This is a 1,500-foot straight. It goes downhill and then a little bit back up, only a little, as you're coming into turn three. Now, you need to understand this. Turns three and four are a complex. They are to be taken together.
And before you get into that, so cars coming off the blend line.
Yes.
It's very well marked. Respect the blend line. You know, if you get a blend line, and there's no reason for any car on the track to cross over the blend line unless you're trying to dodge it. Cow or something, and there's no reason for you coming.
Cows that I've seen on the track.
Cows, yeah. Yes. And there's no reason for you coming onto the track to violate the blend line. If you get a blend line violation at pit race,
it's your fault. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Just don't.
I mean, most blend line violations are your fault.
Yes, but some of them are easier to
like CMP is kind of easy to get it, you know, because you know the paint wears down sometimes. Pit
just
race.
Saying, I know somebody that got one, so I know that it's easy. I know that it's easy to get one. So I'm just saying that most of the time that you get one,
it's not that bad.
It's usually your fault.
The the mayonnaise chugging won't work for you because you'll be like, I love mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. So
we'll get it nice and warm.
She still won't care. I'm the only one that hates mayonnaise.
Yeah, that was what made it better, make you eat them.
Obviously still triggered, so there's that.
Anyway, a little bit, yes.
Keep going.
All right, three and four are complex. Three is the left, four is the right, as they go downhill. So, the key is, you're braking hard coming into three. You take your left turn into three, but you do not track out. You stay hard to your left. Because all you're doing in three is setting yourself up for four. You can brake pretty late in three because, again, you're going up hills very slightly. But then as soon as you turn, you're going to lose that. So turn left, stay hard to the left, and then force your eyes to look way down the hill. You kind of have to look over the apex of four and way down the hill. But as soon as your eyes look down that hill, you'll be okay. Too many people early apex this and push way wide coming down the next straight. And you lose a lot of speed.
Yeah.
So if you stay left at four, look down the hill, apex right in about the middle of the corner for four, hard on the gas going down that hill. You will pass lots of people who did it wrong.
And I used to argue with Chris about the idea of a throwaway corner, and I don't even like that phrasing. But if there
the
is
setup corner, how about
yeah, say if there is such a thing as a throwaway corner, this is the absolute definition of this corner only exists for you to set up for success into four into that lower straightaway, and it's a really good place if you know the car in front of you is going to screw it up. You can already look down that straightaway and figure out where you're going to get around if you carry a bunch of speed out of four. Yeah.
Yeah. So out of four, you're coming in a downhill curved straight into five, which is five is the lowest point on the corner. Everyone knows five. It's that very hard right-hander way at the bottom of the gully that goes up.
And there's only two ways to get it, right or really, really wrong.
Yeah. The way I like to set up for five is you come out of four, you track out. Okay, you can track as far as you need to, no problem. And then I like to get back to about the middle of the track between four and five. Because before the right-hander of five is the slight left. And I like to set up for that left so that as I'm coming into the turn-in spot in five, I end up with the car aligned with the side of the track. If you cut it too far to the left, then by the time you turn in, you're already into the track. You're away from your turning point. If you come too far out, well, then you just have to turn further away.
Right.
In five. So if you try to line up the left side of the car, even with that section right before five, it works out really nicely. And as you're doing that, you're braking. And as soon as you're braking, you need to be turning your head and looking up the hill.
So much.
And it is so hard to look like that far away.
So
yes.
Much.
And a lot of it, it's blocked by woods, by your halo seat, by your helmet, by
the car,
A-pillar of
right.
the car. But you'll know every time you don't turn your head right because the car won't exit the corner correctly and you'll just feel it bog because
so
you're
much.
About to climb a giant hill.
And this is a turn to apex a little on the late side because as you've, once you're in the, and really, when you throw the car into that corner because you're bottoming the suspension out in that corner,
mm-hmm.
You've got all the grip in the world. Use it. Throw it in the corner. More steering element to think on the gas to power out of it. Because if you don't do it right and you get too far out to the track outside of coming into six, the camber goes totally away. And so you will lose traction. You will find yourself floating toward that edge. Like, where's my grip? Where's my
but
grip?
But there's
where's
plenty of room on. It's a wide.
There's a huge amount of room.
And it's
inside.
really a dangerous place where people are going to pass.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And this is where, you know, a lot of your torquier cars and your big power cars, and they'll come out of there. But if they're not doing it right, you will find yourself, if you're managing it in a slow car and you just got blown, your door's blown off by a high horsepower, fast car, you will find yourself running up on their bumper because their engine is absolutely pigged down as they're coming up the hill. It's an immediate visceral sensation when you get that series of corners right. You will know it as you are going up the hill, and you will immediately know it when you don't.
And if you have a lot of power, just finish your apex. Apex late so that you end up on the inside,
mm-hmm.
and then just power past people on the inside.
And just wait and know that
yeah.
the momentum cars are going to, they struggle
yeah.
up that hill.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't say enough about looking up that hill.
You have to look up the hill.
Because when you don't, or you fixate, it's very easy to be braking down after four. You're braking, you're looking down, because that's your tunnel vision. You're looking
the
down
trees,
that
the trees
hill.
Contribute to that visualization.
And then you're looking down, I'm like, okay, I'm braking, and then my eyes go to the apex, and they already should have been up there a long time ago. And so that's just what I do. And it's a hard habit to break, but I really think that you will feel, as you said, you will feel faster. It will feel better if you look up that
yeah.
hill.
Yeah. And this is also especially critical. This is one of the most critical flag stations on the whole track.
Yep.
Yes.
You are about to go over a blind crest at the top of third gear into fourth, and you have no idea what's on the other side of it. So it's on your left-hand side. It's very visible.
Yeah.
Make sure to check that. As you're climbing up that hill, listen to the car struggle. Give that flag station a look so that you're not getting surprised when you crest that hill.
Yeah. Now, and also as you come into this, for those that might be doing the Friday practice, that is one of the runoff areas because it's the lowest part of the track. So
down five is, yeah.
Yeah, down bottom of five, you'll get a stream of water coming
yeah,
across there.
Yeah.
So just
two, actually.
Two of, yeah, yes, yes. On entry and exit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be aware that they're there. They're completely manageable. But if you're not expecting them, say like you're in a supercharged TR7, you know, with little visibility and a short wheelbase, they'll catch you by surprise.
Sure will. All right. So you're coming up over this hill, and then you've got plenty of time on the way down to the hill. You're gathering a lot more speed coming into 7. And now you're setting yourself up here for the S's, whatever you want to call them. You can brake pretty late as you're coming down that hill. Even though you're going down, it kind of flattens out right before the turn in for 7. So I'm just kind of surprised at how late I can brake into 7. And 7, the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, all are dependent on each other. And if you get in a good rhythm on them, they will flow really nicely. And Chrissy, how do you do that?
You modulate the gas.
Great.
Everyone sing it with us. You're in the live chat.
Modulate the gas. Modulate the gas. Yep. Do not brake. You don't probably need to brake. Maybe there's a certain touch here and there,
but usually you can get through this whole section just modulating.
And sometimes you think you need to touch it, and then you just modulate the gas.
And you get right through it.
You do.
It's amazing.
It is.
So 7, you're going to take, like, you'll start from a wide track out. You will get to the apex all the way. But don't track completely out of 7, because you go as far as you can to still be able to set yourself up for 8, because there's a longer straight between 8 and 9 than there is between 7 and 8. So you want to use that. So I'd rather give up a little of 7 to have a better run through 8, especially because 8 is a downhill with a little... It's got a little dip to it that you can use a little bit. Yeah. So then you can use the straight between 8 and 9 to set yourself up for 9 properly, like all the way to the left.
Yes.
But 9, I don't like to track out much. I like to come into 9 and stay hard right.
There's a, unless they've repaved it, but there's it's two different surfaces. They've done like a repair on the inner thing, and I feel like
there's a couple spots with repairs in there, yeah.
And it's better, it's grippier asphalt.
Hit the apex.
Hit the apex in 9, but don't track out. Because here's the problem. If you track too far out in 9, you're not going to be able to make 10. And 10 is an over-the-hill, off-camber crest. And so many people crash at 10. Because they come up over the crest, they get light in the rear, they come around, they overcorrect, and they spin off to the inside. Yeah. So come through 9, don't track out, stay, like if anything, go half track at most, but then get back to the right to set up for 10, and your apex of 10 is going to be, as you're turning into it, just past where you can see. It's kind of the end of the red and white curving at 10. So it's a bit of a late apex, but that is your apex for 10. If you take that, you can get on the power. You can get on the power smoothly, cleanly, and safely. And then you're going to set yourself up nicely for 11. So, and to take that whole thing at full throttle.
As you're going over the hill, there's some different colored fencing. It is a nice way. So when you're coming over that hill, you may feel like you can't see the other side.
So there's a great flag station right at the inside of 10.
Correct.
That as you're coming into 9, you can look at that flag station and make sure you're clear for your run of 9-10.
Right. So, but as you're coming up and over the hill, 9-11.
10.
No, 10. 10. Yeah, 10. 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as you're coming over the hill, so figure out if you're looking up, you're already looking up. So if you're looking at the different color fencing, that's one thing that you can glance at to say, okay, I'm looking at my car should be pointed at this one. I need to do a couple laps to figure out where you're pointed at, but it might help you not be fearful of that there's nothing on the other side.
Yeah. Just know your apex is over the crest of the hill at the end of the curving. And after you've done it once or twice, you'll get it. So then now you're pointing down the hill at 11. 11 turns to the right. 11 is where the north track section of the course that's not used anymore rejoins, and there's a arrow of red and white curving at that spot.
Yes.
Put your right wheels on the arrow at the end of the arrow, at the tip. Use the tip.
Just the tip.
And if you put your right wheels on that after you've done the 10 apex correctly, you will have a great flow through 10, through 11, you're carrying a lot of speed into 12. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people won't be. but you can. 12 is this hard braking to 12. It's a right-hand turn that goes upward, well, and there's a great flag station there.
There you go.
You need to look at, as you're coming through that, 11, look at that flag
station. As you, yeah, you come out of 11, and you look across that great grass on the left side, and he is up in a tower surrounded by tire walls, but clear field of view of what you can't see, and it is of key importance. And also, in the rain, coming into 11, giant river of water likes to flow right across there. So if you're out there on the rainy practice day, just be aware of that one. I was going to go with that. Yeah. 12 is a very key flag station.
Yes. The most key flag station, the whole one, is 14. We're coming up to that because the 12, 13, 14, are complex. You take them all together. 12 is the hard right that goes up the hill. 13 is the kind of kink to the left. Mm-hmm. 14 is the blind crest to the right over down the hill.
About. I was on the wrong corner.
Okay.
Yes.
So, 12, you're braking hard coming into it, because if you ran a nice run through 10, 11, you got a lot of speed. Do not track out of 12. Stay right in 12, because all you're doing, 13 only sets you up for 14. And if you do 14 right, you're carrying that speed through the entire straight. Mm-hmm. It's hugely important. So you have to get 13 to set up correctly for 14. To do 13 correctly, you have to do 12 correctly. So do not track far out in 12 so that you make sure you can get back to the right for 13. 13, you do not track out. You go from, you turn in early so that you end up on the left-hand side.
Yeah, so you line back up on the driver's side.
Correct.
And yeah, get all set up.
All you're doing is setting up for 14.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you look at the flag station. Every time, because you're going over a blind hill at full throttle.
Yes, into a very fast corner where a lot of people freak out.
Yep. So, look at that flag station, roll into your gas, your apex is beyond the, over the top of the hill, further down the hill than you think.
Have faith, they didn't move the track over the last lap, it's still there.
And the curbing on the right-hand side is very friendly.
Yes, yes.
You can fit most of the car on that friendly curbing, and it's okay.
But don't do that.
So, but err to that side.
Yes.
If you late apex it, begin, it's over the hill, further down. Plan for that late apex. So a little later turn in, a little later apex. But as you're turning in on the gas, you'll float a little bit as you're coming through that. But then it'll settle down nicely. If you get your apex on the inside and you've got plenty of room then to wash out after 14, if you did it right. If you find that you are fighting yourself and getting pushed hard to the far end out of 14, that means your apex is too early. And lots of people do that and have to back off or put two wheels off, mm-hmm. put two wheels off and spin. Lots of things happen because people early
apex.
Hence
the importance
14.
Of that flag station.
Right. Because people can't, when they can't see it, they go too early. They don't wait till they can see it, which would make sense. They mm-hmm. they just turn, and then they find they're in the wrong spot. Now, if you've done 14 correctly, 15 is easy. 15 is a kink to the left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If there's no one around, it's great. Full throttle, huge,
yes,
fast
kink. It's a gut check.
Yeah.
You, in most cars, and build up to this. Don't try to do this on lap one. In most cars, you can do it flat-footed, no lift, gentle input. Go through it, and building up to that, you'd be like, no, 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 okay, it made it. No, no, and you go faster, and finally, the first time you go through it flat with just a slight thing, you're like, okay.
But you will find this to be a traffic pinch point because so many people are not doing it correctly. So you end up kind of fighting, like you're like, no, I don't want to be next to you at the corner. No, 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 no,
no,
no,
no.
Oh, damn
yeah,
it.
You're going to screw this all
and
up.
It screws you both up.
But high traffic zone, high, lots of people that are going to try to come in inside. Where they shouldn't go inside, you should just keep your line if you are a slower car, but it's going to be because people want to be able to do that whole thing at a much faster speed than mm-hmm. maybe than some
but
cars.
But if you need to back off on the throttle a little bit after 14 to set yourself up the correct spacing to someone to not get pinched with them.
Yes.
Yes.
It is faster to do it that way. You mm-hmm. just have to have your eyes up and the presence of mind to do
and,
it.
And particularly if you are a momentum car, 15 is key because it is a it is 1,200 feet of straightaway that you enter at a high speed, and you are also going to exit at a mountain high-ish speed. So it is a great opportunity to execute some very good clean passes. So if you're going to focus on any corner to get right, it's that 14-15 combo that he just walked you through, which really starts at 12. But that you will have all of that speed down the very visible, long straightaway of between 15 and 16.
Yeah. When it all works together, you'll feel great, and you're going so fast.
So fast.
So this brings us to 16, which is a very gentle by the math, but not gentle at the time, kink to the right. And in some cars, you can take this flat out. And you can be flat from the turn of 14 all the way through the track out of 16.
Good.
I've done it in the Mazda. No one was around, and I used every inch of track. And then it was hard ABS after that.
Did you breathe?
A little. Yep. I clenched.
Oh, you must have. Shoot. I don't know that I've done
usually there's enough traffic, you can't do it. At the very, if there's traffic around, a lift before 16 is nice just to settle the nose a little bit and prepare you for braking when you're on the other side of 16.
Which you're going to do a lot of.
Yes. But depends on your speed and grip. It is possible in some cars to do that.
Yes.
But once you're on the other side of 16, you're going to be, I mean, the Mazda hits like 110 on the straight. So we're hauling ass. And that's not even one of the fastest cars. The Mazda's not that fast.
No.
Homs's Beamer, we were, we were in felonious territory.
Right. So, but no, that's how much speed you're going to have to burn off before the hard right-hander of 17 and 18, which is a very tight turn, which is like second gear for some cars.
And
that's how tight it is.
It looks tight. It's even tighter than it looks.
Yeah. So know you're going to get all that speed off. So look at the traffic before you come in to 16. Are there a lot of cars there? If so, ease off a bit before 16 so you make sure you're going to be able to stop.
Get in line.
Right.
Also.
Yeah.
Figure out, it can go three wide. Okay. It shouldn't. But it can.
16 is where we're going to enjoy watching the people who do it wrong go wheels off on the left and then go all the way up to the tires.
And chances are you didn't even know that was up there.
I didn't even go that far.
Until you see a Falcon that is sitting with their half their car in the in the wall, then you'll notice.
And just know that all of us in the upper garage are laughing at you.
Yeah. It's good entertainment.
Yes.
And you, somebody, you go so far.
Yeah, you are sliding uphill on dirt, and you still went that far. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So if you do that right, you come into, you're on the left side of the track, braking hard for 17. This is just a really tight uphill corner. You're going down to second or third gear. The curbing is big on the right. Try to avoid it. It really bumps you up. There is a patch on the track there. It's a different traction depending on the temperature and the weather. So try it out and see how it's, I don't know how it's going to be this day. I don't know, but it is different. But you can then just roll on the gas, and there's a huge amount of room to track out
so much
after 17 and into 18.
Yep.
So if you're, don't fight it, like, let it go.
I was for a long time. And then I realized that I had so much more track that was still available. So,
don't pinch it. Just
well,
just
and it feels like you're turning a circle or you're half a circle. So you feel like I need to go over there. So let me just keep tightening it. But if you just let it flow, as long as there's no other cars that are around you. But yeah.
And then just stay out of the blend line or the track in line there.
Yes.
And there's a. There's a guardrail section with a sign that says "Keep Right."
Yes, which clearly is a result of several issues.
Right, and a little curb, but I actually like coming out of 18 and just touching that curb at 19 because you don't need to pinch the inside of 19.
Make
it flow out of 18.
Yeah.
Kiss the apex at 19.
And that's the 18-19 transition is a no lift.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're coming downhill out of 19. Past the main straights and the pits and all that. And that is a chance to really start hauling the mail.
Mm-hmm. Figure out where you belong for turn one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Favorite corner on the track?
Ooh, that's a great question. When I do it right, I'm going to say my favorite corner is 15. but it's always a challenge to, because I mean, you just after you've been out there and you've built up the confidence, you always come out of 15 and you're like, wow, I am going so fast right now.
It's just
you slingshot past so many cars that overslowed for the entirety of it, and you don't just meh. I mean, it is just bah! Especially if they just passed you, motored past you in one of the earlier corners, and you know it's going to take them another half the track to get around you again. Yeah, it is a that one. More so than the backside, the 5, 6, and 7 complex. Yeah, 15 is it's more viscerally rewarding by sheer speed.
Okay, Chrissy.
How about you?
14. It rewards perfection. Like you have to have enough practice with it, and have to have enough gumption to go with it. But then when you do, you feel great.
Yeah.
And it sets you up for so much success.
I love that your favorite corner is the corner that rewards perfection, and my favorite corner is the corner that just rewards that rewards a lack of self-preservation.
I also have to say that best corner is obviously Al's corner.
Gas station.
Is that your joke or somebody else make that for us?
Oh, no, I'm just reading the chat.
That's awesome. Yes, all right. All right, second favorite corner that isn't Al's corner. All right, yeah, well done.
I'm going to go with modulating the gas corners. I know that's multiple, okay. But I think
That's a series, that's fine.
It is a series. I think it's worth it. I think it's when you do it right, you sing the song, which people were singing along with me, which was made me very happy. I think it's a good set of corners that you have a lot of opportunity to, I guess, depending on the kind of car you're in. It's fun. It's like if you're doing it right, you're like, don't touch the gas. Okay, great. Go, 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 go. Yeah. Dance it.
I remember running the old, you know, what is now just the North Track again, the original pit track. And it was a good track, but with this whole expansion on there, I feel like it has really taken this whole one to another level. And in the sense that it is very rhythmic, I don't feel like there's any place at pit where you feel behind the car.
Unless it's your own fault,
but
you can get behind in the S's real fast.
You can, but if it's like Barber, you know, there's nothing where it just absolutely, you know, Thompson. There are places that Thompson, you're like, okay, here we go, and okay, breathe, and then you have that. But Pittsburgh is one of those. It's a rhythm track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you settle in, you get into your zen place, you're doing the things all the way through, and you forget that you're doing all of this until someone calls and says, hey man, you've been out there forever. It's time for a pit. Oh, okay. You can fall into a wonderful rhythm, with the exception of the corners that you pointed out where you got to look at the flag station. It's a lot of visibility.
Look at all the flag stations.
But there's, it's a lot of visibility. Even like as you are coming out of 7 and 8, if you have the presence of mind and you're trying to run somebody down, you can even look as they're coming out of 15 and find out, or even 1, you know, in certain places. So you can really map out where you are, where your nemesis is on the track at the same time. So there's just, it's an opportunity to really get and completely immersed in the race.
Flag stations are your friend.
They are. Mm-hmm. Totally right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Buddha. He is the president of the Las Vegas Porsche Club, and, instructor. Had his finally after years of me goading him to it. He said, "All right, that's it. I'm done screwing around. You know, mental. Find me somebody to ride with, but I want someone that's laid back. You know, that doesn't enjoy racing, but isn't trying to win." And I said, "You know, I know a guy." And he came out and did the Vannaball at Thunderhill, and and me, him, and Zach drove out together. We drove home together. Okay. Yeah, Buddha is Buddha. Yeah, the first hit's always free, and you know, and after years of track days, and Buddha is an outstanding driver. Buddha's he's hooked on wheel to wheel now.
He's also not president, but don't get in the way of Matt's story because
the facts don't get in the way of a good yarn with this guy.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's go.
All right.
Hopefully we'll see you at the track.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining us.
This was a lot of fun. You know, it's 338 episodes, which is kind of depressing because if we look at it numbers wise, it's almost 6 years we've been doing.
Why is it depressing?
All right. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
What's depressing?
All right. And we have made a lot of great friends and had a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but where I was going with this, 6 years. Favorite thing over, you know, we do this a lot. We always do the thankfulness episode and that kind of stuff.
My answer is the same as all the thankfulness episodes. It's all the people we've met doing this.
Yeah.
That I would not have met otherwise. Absolutely.
Yes, it even happened to me at WRL. The person installing the live stream, she comes over and she's doing this and I'm walking to the trailer and she's a French Canadian or French. I don't know, but she had a French accent. Are you the mental? And I just, okay, this is unsettling. Yeah, yes, I am mental from Lemons. And yeah, she runs a couple of races out on the West Coast and was installing all of that. And yeah, it is. It is the people. Actually, hell, everyone on there, I think. Yeah. You know, everyone in the chat right now, we've met through doing this.
Yep.
And every one of them are wonderful people, and we are blessed to have you in our lives.
Just so you know, Dolores fell asleep an hour ago.
check her breathing. Let's make sure she's really asleep.
It's literally the next chat. Dolores
is on medication, and apparently one of her friends has now discovered a blue pill, so, you know, she might be she might be doing some.
You guys are hilarious.
Beyond her physical capabilities, and I'm not going to kink shame. I just want to make sure that we're looking out for her health.
She's okay.
It's important.
Right. Oh yeah. Now you're doing an outro.
I saw it. Chrissy, though. Yeah, yours, same thing. People, or you got something? Yeah.
Oh, people.
All right.
I only race for the people.
Yeah, fair enough. And dogs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like.
All right.
You already waited too long.
I know. Too late.
So this is it. If you have not joined our Formula One League, the link will be in the show notes. And I have a hunch that if I take enough time to talk about it, Chrissy's going to go ahead and punch it in the chat.
Sure, I can do that.
Here on there. So join our Fantasy F1 League. While you're at it, you can actually jump over and also join the Apex Adjacent F1 Fantasy League. Meanwhile,
thanks for joining us. Another episode of Everyone Racers. Hope you've enjoyed joining us in the world of building, driving, all those things that we do. Right. If you like us, hey, subscribe and click that iTunes review button and give us 5 stars. Even if you didn't like us at all, 5 stars and tell us why. The show is totally free, and that's why you only paid nothing to listen to it. Hey, find us on all the social media channels.
Screw this thing.
We're on all the various social medias, Everyone Racers, everyone.racers@gmail.com, even places that I don't even know exist in the internet, but Metal has found them and put us there somewhere, so that's fine.
We're not on Truth Social yet.
Well, let's keep it that way. I don't remember the end of it now, but anyways. Thanks, everyone. Keep the shiny side up, unless you're going to be driving through monsoon rains getting this. Just stay out of the mud. Really.
Keep those wheels down. Yeah. Be safe. We'll see you at the track.
Thanks, everybody.
Rusty parts are hard.
You know it's not hard? Clicking that like and subscribe button.